how they can be made more just. Until next time, stay informed, stay engaged, and keep asking what justice really means in our communities.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be
KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Development and Events Committee meets on the third Monday of the month at 5:30 p.m. This month's meeting will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland and online through public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting virtually can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
One, two, three.
Vote. Y'all ready for this?
Ladies and gentlemen.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 0.
Never been done before.
We're talking about a subject.
To bring you to the light.
Farewell to you, people.
Hold up, hold up. 1, 2, 3, vote.
Ready for this?
Ladies and gentlemen.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 0. Never been done before.
We're talking about a subject.
To bring you to the light.
Farewell to you, people.
Hold up, hold up.
Davey D, Hard Knock Radio, hanging out with you this afternoon. Today, we want to speak with Kali Ancuno from Cooperation Jackson in Mississippi. Scary times we're in. War in Iran. Cuba being starved to death. Incursion, invasion in Ecuador. We still have folks being devastated in the occupied territories in Palestine. Venezuela is still on the map. And of course, people who look like me, people who have brown skin, people who are deemed others under some form of attack, whether it's ICE, police brutality, or draconian laws limiting where you can go and who you can be. Wanted to talk to Kali Ancuno, who has been preparing, you know, and warning us about this type of power grab and what it would mean. As to where we should be going. And in fact, Kali, for those who don't know, him and Thandi Chimurenga had done a series of conversations, which we'll make sure you have access to break this down. So welcome to the show, Kali. And before I forget, give people the name of this series. I have it backwards in my head.
It's the Build and Fight Formula series, the educational series that you can find either on Black Liberation Media or our own Jackson Rising YouTube pages.
Thank you. And oftentimes we re-air them here on Hard Knock Radio. At this moment, where do you see things? And I want to start with the situation in Iran. We know that people have been chomping at the bit, Israel in particular, for a very long time. But now it kind of took a different turn with Pete Hegseth talking about this is a holy war. This is the way to Jesus. You all are soldiers for God's army. This is very different talk. And I don't know. In theory, people knew about it, but to hear it is a whole other level.
It's just the hearing about it publicly. This is what they've been saying in their own channels, right, in their own media for years. And the problem, which, you know, you've heard me say on these airwaves and many others for many years, is folks don't listen to them enough. And then I'm talking about the far right and their media networks. And as repugnant as it is to listen to them, I think everyone, you know, going back to the year 2000, when this particular type of coalition, right, of oil, the early stages of tech magnates, the religious right, when they came together under Bush II to really steal that election, at least we forget, right, in 2000,
yes.
The year 2000, that folks should have been paying attention to their worldview, to their politics and ideology, to their strategy, because they have just been gaining ground and been very clear about telegraphing what they thought, what they intended to do, how they intended to do it, who they wanted to attack, and why. Most of this has been clearly laid out by their key talking heads and in their strategy papers for years. It's just now made it to the MSNBCs and the CNNs and, you know, more of the mainstream open conversation where they are not trying to shield themselves any longer from any public criticism. But they have been saying this is a holy war for a long time. And in fact, look, we need to be clear. The right-wing Zionist forces, and there are left-wing Zionist forces, to be clear, but the right-wing Zionist forces who are in charge have been leading the same battle charge and utilizing the same rhetoric. So when, you know, Ehud Barak or Netanyahu or some of these other folks get out there and start referring to to Palestine by old biblical names and saying that these folks need to be taken out because they are Moab and all this other kind of stuff, alluding to the genocide, which is in the Bible, right? That the Israelites allegedly committed in the pages of the Bible, they're using the same type of religious fervor, religious language. It just kind of got swept under the rug because Judaism is not a quote unquote the dominant religion within the United States. But the Christian Zionists understood what that language meant because it's the language that they employ, you know, within their own pews and within their own churches. And have been using for years. So Hegseth comes out of that milieu very clearly. Yeah. Trump knew that, and anybody who paid any attention and studied who he was when he was first nominated, you knew that this was coming in one form or fashion. So I'm glad that people are now made aware of it. The question is, what are folks going to do? Because let's be clear. The political purposes of this type of languages are not lost on this coalition. It is by no accident that Peter Thiel was running around, and Peter Thiel is the guy who created Palantir, was part of the PayPal mafia, you know, best buds and South African co-patriot with Elon Musk. It's no accident that they were running around last year describing anybody who opposed AI, artificial intelligence, or, you know, large language models, to be more specific, and the massive construction of data centers to kind of fuel their law and give a structure, the infrastructure, the backbone of it, that anybody who opposed that was the Antichrist. And that's something that they were promoting, right? And trying to tie it into this whole kind of Western civilizational narrative of, you know, the war against the infidels and the non-believers. And if you listen very carefully, that is the same rhetoric that Marco Rubio used last month when he went over to Europe, over in Munich, at that arms conference, and implored to the Europeans about, y'all need to get on board with our mission to reestablish the greatness of Western civilization and continuing with its conquering mission. That's what he said. So Pete Hegseth just brought in a fanatical, you know, religious figure to preside over the troops, which is not the first time he's done that and described the war in this way. But it's consistent with what Trump and them have been doing since they got reinstalled in office. There's no break. There was no, you know, discontinuance or adding something on. Anybody who's paying close attention knows how these, or should know, I should say. Let me put it that way, because I want people to study and take them more serious, because we got to understand who they are, what they think, in order to build effective resistance and oppositional structures to it. And we have to start concentrating in our weakness on how do we fracture their coalition. And understanding the fault lines, because there are some, is going to be critical to any kind of modern resistance in the future.
Ali and Kuno, let me ask you this. People not paying attention and simplifying or distracting the political landscape of today, as you described, is definitely an American trait. You know, my travels around the world, and you can tell me if you've seen this because you travel much more than I have. We're pretty woefully ignorant when it comes to politics. I've been surprised at how understanding and insightful people in other countries, whether you're on the continent or whether you're in Europe or some other place, they know about our politics very clear. So I bring this up, and I can understand, you know, the folks on my block not knowing this. But what about Cuba? Because they know. In Venezuela, many people there know. In other places, they're very much aware of what you described. And yet, they're in the crosshairs in a very big way. And so, are there lessons to be learned from what's been happening with them? Are they just overwhelmed? Are they just, you know, I mean, they knew this was happening. They knew what these people were. And yet, how we're seeing things is not good.
Well, let's take it a little bit deeper. Oftentimes, folks in like Cuba or Venezuela, they have to know, because the decisions that come out of the White House, the decisions that come out of, you know, the Supreme Court and the halls of Congress and Wall Street, right? They have immediate impact on their societies. Right. And it is a difference between, you know, whether you're going to be able to have oil in the case of Cuba, to be able to even cook, let alone fuel your overall economy. These decisions have, you know, real life consequences for them in a way that folks, because we live in the heart of empire, we are shielded from in most respects. You know, it might be a little price hike at the gas station, and that may anger us and disrupt some aspects of our quality of life, let's put it that way, right, as we understand it, but that's different than if this price go up, I'm not going to be able to produce food for my country. Right, which is what they're facing. It's a different consequence, and the consequences are different, because we have to understand, whether we like it or not, me and you, despite our positionality as black men in this society, we are still benefiting from the largesse of living inside the empire and the spoils of empire, and how that trickles down, and I hate to use that word, but it's real, how that trickles down to certain aspects of the quality of life, be it, you know, the subsidized prices for food that most, that all Americans pay for, people who live in the United States, the subsidized prices for gas that all Americans, you know, deal with, the subsidized prices for water and power. These are the benefits, if you want to call them that, of living inside the empire. Now, right. Those benefits are not distributed in any way equally. No, don't get me wrong. Don't get it twisted. And in fact, you know, they have to keep them unequal in order to keep up the rat race, in order to feed the elements of competition. They keep the capitalist kind of exploiting dynamic in play. They have to do that, right? That's a part of the logic. But right. You build in degrees of loyalty to this project, to this settler colonial project, to this empire, by making a contrast between, this is what you get if you play the game, right? You get to have a nice house. You get to have a car or two, right? You get to play video games and have internet access to do whatever you want to do. Whereas, you know, if we deport you, or imprison you, you won't have any access to those things. So it's a way in which it's designed to keep us in line, keep us in check, and keep us loyal to the project. And that going, and I'm saying this to talk about this level of ignorance. It's a direct and manufactured interest. And despite, you know, all the criticism, and somewhat rightly so, this being aimed at Chomsky, he was actually right about that manufacturing consent that takes place in the United States through the institutions of our educational system, both public and private, and through corporate media and all the different propaganda tools that come through the corporate media, through the commercials and everything else, right? And what the United States basically has learned, picking up from just all the ruling tricks that go back to hell, the Romans, right? You got to keep your own population satiated with bread and circuses, right? Mm-hmm. Make sure that there's enough food and there's enough entertainment to keep people distracted from all the other things we intend to do to keep this empire functioning and keep those who run the empire at the top of the heap. And that's fundamentally what's going on, right? And it's not like folks who live in the United States cannot have access to the information, right? We got more access to information than any generation in history by far, right? But we choose not to engage because we are distracted, very easily distracted, most of us in this country. And this, and the distraction is not just, you know, not trying to say that people are ignorant in any respect, is that it has no, the distraction is to keep you from dealing with the reality of how these benefits come about and how these trinkets come about, but also to keep you from challenging power and to quit from asking more detailed questions. And as long as you don't ask no critical questions and go along with the game, you could be all right.
Mm. Or if you attempt to assimilate, and, you know, the word that they use is proximity to power, proximity right. to whiteness. You know, you see a lot of hedging of the bet, so to speak.
That's right.
Right. Where people are looking and saying, you know, what's the currency that will allow me even more access, or what's the currency that will give me some incremental comfort? I've always said the part of it, one of the key currencies, is anti-blackness.
That's
but
right.
But there seems to be other things in play as well.
Well, there's a number of the, I mean, you know, that one, there's just dealing with the total injustice of this project. That, you know, it is totally built on stolen land and genocide. And that is an ongoing process. It's not like that ever ended, even here. right? That is an ongoing process and part of the bargain, you know, to be a part of the U.S. project to fully engage in the quote unquote American dream. Those are the two pillars, right? You have to accept the genocide and mass threat. The genocide and the stealing of land, you know, against indigenous folks, against Native Americans. And you have to be against those who were brought here merely to toil for the benefit of the project, right? And that is black people and the anti-blackness African people. And if you really can't get with those two pillars, then you will have problems living in this society. Point blank period. You will have problems living in society because you're not going along. You start asking questions, you know, why they own everything, why they control everything. I thought this was a democracy, you know. How come I don't have no say so where I work and I can't, you know, make certain questions? You start answering those questions, you start getting other people start asking those same questions and taking actions to make some deliberative changes, you're going to be a problem. They know that very clearly, right? And history has proven it time and time again. So, you know, for most, you might ask a few questions, but you go along to get along. Because, you know, the United States has made it very clear. When you ask too many questions and you organize on it, they come with the hammer. Point blank period, right? That is the one you know, growing up, you know, that a lot of people had a lot of pride, like in the Panthers and in SNCC and the Congress of African People and the Republic of New Africa. They had a lot of pride in that. But what did they tell me and your generation? Don't be out there acting crazy because they'll kill you. Right. So that element of fear was also in kind of instilled in the generation that came up in the 70s and 80s. And that was because our folks sit there and witness, you know, the sheer brutality and terror that was rained upon people, you know, agitating and trying to organize to change their community. And that was built on, you know, one, this notion that that Obama tried to hijack, of saying, yes, there were problems with the history of this, but it's been working towards a more perfect union, right? And the project is kind of steadily improving, but improving at whose cost, right? Improving at whose benefit? And those questions sometimes kind of get obscure. But the thing about this age, the one that we are living in now, you know, with the second restoration of Donald Trump, they've made it very clear. You know, you black or you brown, that's, you know, and just going along with the program, that's not sufficient, because they want a more white republic, and they are aiming to get it, point blank period, right? Because they understand that in the end, there is a sheer aspect of a numbers game that you know exists in the country that determine its future. And if there are more black folks and more brown folks, that means the rules of the game as they've been established, you know, the white men who have been running this show, you know, since its inception, they're ultimately going to lose power. So they got to change the rules and they got to change the demographics. And that's what we see. That's what ICE is about. That's what this whole, you know, piece is about, and resetting what are the terms around how labor and whose labor is going to be exploited to keep the empire running, right? So there's a number of brown people that they're willing to tolerate, and there's a number of black people that they're willing to tolerate and to set aside, you know, black and brown jobs, which they've been openly talking about, you know, which is some of the most racist, I forgot we were on radio. So, you know, it's just blatantly racist without any disguise of where they see us fitting in to the future.
Kylie, let me ask you this. You talked about distraction. And maybe distraction comes in the form of hope. Maybe distraction comes with the push to bring back some sort of normalcy. And so I see a lot of folks wringing their hands around elections, discussions around elections, the hope for the elections in the midterm. We saw what took place in Texas, and almost immediately, like clockwork, comes the propaganda campaign, to your point, to put a fissure in the potential for any sort of unity around numbers. So Jasmine Crockett loses. We have Roland Martin come on. He talks very clearly about the lack of infrastructure in her campaign. He broke it down, you know, like, you know, all the things that could have been done, weren't done, et cetera, et cetera. But person after person, commentary after commentary, she lost because of Latinos. This is why we can't help them. And so that becomes a distraction on itself. And yet everybody's still talking about these midterms. You living in a draconian state like Mississippi, where some of this is test run, how do we start making sense of that? Is the validity in this? Should people be preparing for these midterms? Your take on how that's going to play out?
Well, I've said it before. I've written about it for a long time. Politics, as folks once knew it and lived it, that is over. That's over. Trump and his team don't have no intention on surrendering power or adjusting anything come November. Now, I've said many times before that I didn't think that there were going to be any midterms. And the only way that there could be any midterms is if they are pretty much assured of the outcome. Now, I'm going to stand by that, right? I've been saying that for years, and I think people have been deluding themselves in thinking that this is anyhow going to be free and fair, even under the rules, as distorted and manipulated as they are, of how elections have proceeded in this country, you know, at least since 64, 65 with the Civil Rights and the Voting Rights Acts. That era is over, right? And best believe, you know, the interconnected nature of how things operate. Best believe that if the Trump regime is successful at pulling off another Venezuela coup style operation in Iran, and what I mean by that, that they, you know, might leave some of the figureheads of the Islamic Republic in charge, but then dictate, you know, like they're doing in Venezuela now, what exactly happens, every single move, which is what they're fundamentally, I think, aiming for, because the effort to just topple the regime clearly has failed. I think they're going to weaken, and they are weakening it substantially, but I don't think they're just going to overthrow the republic at this point. And the only way they could is if they're going to put forces on the ground, which I think there's going to be too much opposition within the Republican ranks to allow that to happen. But we'll see, you know, because they are really feeling themselves right now. But to come back to the point where these are connected, if they are successful, right, in creating new terms on the global stage as they were with Venezuela and Iran, there's going to be no need to have elections here, because he's just going to install a open dictatorship here, with the full complicity of the Republican Party and the Supreme Court, which currently holds a numeric majority in both, you know, houses of Congress, right? The Senate and Congress. Because, you know, they have made it very clear. Listen to them. I mean, just going back to the first point, listen to them sometimes. When folks like Steve Bannon come out and tell you, if we lose the midterms, i.e. if there are midterms, right, which is really what he said, if there are midterms, we going to... He ain't got no illusions. You got the Speaker of the House now, Johnson, Louisiana boy, said burgeoning of the same thing last week, that, you know, if the Republicans lose the midterms, that's it for the Trump presidency. So they understand what the stakes are, and they're not planning on losing, right? And you don't go all out, just totally violating international law, killing people at will, in boats in the Pacific and the Caribbean and the Atlantic Ocean, then totally illegally kidnap the president of another country, keep oil you know, from being delivered to Cuba, to totally strangle a country, force a military operation in Mexico, because that's what happened with that drug piece. That was forcing her hand to be clear and setting some terms.
Right.
They did. And then one of the things you did mention in your opening monologue, they are now doing operations in Ecuador.
Yeah, I did. We did.
Oh, okay, yeah, I must have missed it. Yeah, they now doing operations in Ecuador. You kick all the Cuban doctors out of Guatemala, El Salvador, was one other country, Jamaica, just kicked all the Cuban doctors out, I think a day or two ago, under direct threat and pressure from Trump and his regime. So they already committing warfare with all the tools, and then openly saying, Trump was on TV yesterday saying, Cuba's next. He said to Ruby, hey, I got you, you know, we could do both at the same time, but I got you. Now, you don't do all that, Davey, unless you real secure and you real confident and that you're going to get away with it, right? That there's going to be no fundamental opposition and that you're going to continue to perpetrate war after war, even though you ran against it in a good chunk of the MAGA base is against war. You don't make these decisions unless you think that you're going to be around for a while. So I want folks to take a more realistic approach to what these midterms are fundamentally about. Now, am I saying that folks shouldn't be out there agitating? Of course you should. You know, every avenue, every means has to be exhausted. And the reality of the situation is, you know, I can go out here and talk to all my neighbors about, hey, we need to prepare for a coup. But going back to the point around distraction, most of them don't believe it. And even those who in their heart of hearts know that I'm telling the truth, they don't want to face the consequence. So you rather hope that there's still some semblance of, you know, normalcy that you can kind of rely on, because the alternative is far worse. And then people have to deal with the reality of how underprepared they are for the consequences. And it's best that if and should those consequences come, that I'm going to just, you know, put my head down, be quiet, and try to live through it. I mean, that's fundamentally where we are at, Davey. And that the other side of it, you know, just to go on, I want folks to be clear. It's not like this Democratic Party, should it come into power, let's say the elections do happen, which again, I don't think they are, at least without major manipulation. Let's say they actually win. The rules hold. Let's say they actually win. What opposition are they actually going to pose? They just approved Trump going to war with Iran, right? By not saying we're going to curtail your powers. They just approved that, Democrats and Republicans. They have no beef with Venezuela. They got no beef with taking out Cuba. None whatsoever. The only thing that they've raised any legitimate concern is you don't need to threaten our allies by trying to take Greenland when you can just possess it another way. So they are fully on board with the empire. Don't get it twisted that there's going to be any fundamental opposition. At best, there may be some curtailment of the most public draconian aspects of the domestic repression. But keep in mind, Obama still deported more folks than Trump did, right? They didn't dismantle ICE. They helped build ICE. And under every, even when they've had majority, they expanded ICE. So they are, you know, folks are expecting miracles from this Democratic Party to be in some opposition. At best, they just, if they come in, all they're going to do is contain the hard edges and keep the program going. Because in truth, we got to really, those of us who really consider ourselves trying to improve this world and trying to, you know, bring about a different future, one really based on, you know, equality and equity and making sure that there's a future for our children and grandchildren, because we are dealing with the real threat of climate change. If you want to deal with that, the Democrats are not going to serve your interests and have no desire in that, because Trump has been good for American empire. And folks will be lying to themselves and thinking that they're not. Is he a little embarrassing at times? Yes. Is he a little rough around the edges at times? Yes, without question. But he just chose to use the apparatus that they have built to somewhat its full capacity since World War II. But, you know, all them bases that's in Saudi Arabia, Qatar, United, you know, UAE and Turkey and all this stuff, most of that was built by democratic regimes, truth be told.
Right.
There's no major gap on empire between these two. Empire will continue. And if we don't want it to continue, we don't want it to advance, we have to build real alternatives to it. And that is not going to be built within the Democratic Party. So if you want an alternative, you got to start building a real oppositional alternative on local levels, you know, building something that can challenge them on that level. That's where it's at, because otherwise you're going to get the same corporate warmongering Democrats at the end of the day in office. And you can assure that, because the Democratic Party will take out the progressives that choose to be in this wing. They don't need the Republicans to do that. They do it themselves. Just ask Bernie.
If we wrap up, Kali Nkuno, you have mentioned that there are fissures and cracks in that wall that we should pay attention to, maybe exploit, or at the very least be aware of. What are some of them fissures?
Well, the most obvious one right now is this Epstein file piece, right? And we need to really hone in on the systemic nature of the types of abuse, and I stress types of abuse because there's more than one. There's definitely the pedophilia, which is clearly on evidence, but underneath that is the actual power of capital and how it shields these men, these rich men, in every which way imaginable, from facing any consequence. And that Epstein, you know, ran something that got disclosed in public, but as you and I know from both at different times working in the entertainment industry, at some of the security I did for years, just at the low level, you know, that type of stuff happens all the time.
Yeah.
Right. They're talking about, and it is very widespread. Now, this is where an element of the QAnon and the Christian right, for their own reasons, are deeply opposed to this. And that is an area where, for purely tactical reasons, you know, we need to hit folks up and to try to widen that divide and do some more exposure. That's one. So it may be just feeding them information for them to, you know, get more agitated about, if nothing else. The other one that's a pretty critical one. The other one has to do with this major divide between, let's call it the nativist base and the tech lords, right? The nativist base is very much against what they call perpetual wars.
Right.
So like the Steve Bannon, if you wanted the Bannon clique versus the Thiel and Musk clique. Right now, the Musk and Thiel clique are clearly in charge because, you know, the U.S. is just really redefining its relationship with Silicon Valley. You know, keep in mind, the U.S. military built Silicon Valley to begin with, right? But they are really re-cementing their relationship with the full-on incorporation and embrace of AI and all this kind of modern warfare. And for that to work, they need more wars because they got to plow their wares, right? And they want total domination, and they want to keep. They have a aligned interest with the U.S. military and capital in general, U.S. capital in general, in keeping China in check, if not make it ultimately subservient. So this march towards World War III is one that is of a necessity to them. But somebody like Bannon, who just really wants to keep America great in that faction, they don't. Why waste all this money when that can be used at home doing other things? That's a real fissure that we're going to have to figure out how to exploit. And the other one has to do with folks who want a different future amongst capital, who want a different future around energy and know that climate change is real, right? And so this is where some things you see coming into conflict in a major way. If you look at it, stand back and look at it objectively, look at what's happening right now with the insurance companies around the Strait of Hormuz and saying, we're not going to insure no ships with the oil. Right, it's too dangerous. You didn't calculate with us. It's against the our market cap. We're not going to do it. So Trump saying, "All right, well, we'll insure it." How the United States going to do that without running up massive debt, right? And so that speaks to, you got some elements of finance who are saying, "Yo, some of your moves really don't make sense. We're going to have to do some work to curtail that." And that plays off into the energy piece as well, right? Because a lot of them understand, particularly now with the threat of war. The other side of this is those who have the capacity to go more clean energy, solar, et cetera. A lot more money is going to be spent, again, investing in that in the near future. Right. Insurance companies, again, like in Louisiana, Mississippi, Florida, you basically can't get home insurance because they said it's too much of a risk, right? It's just throwing good money after bad because climate change is real. We know the numbers. We know the science. We're not going to put no money in it. That's a real cleavage that we're going to have to figure out how to exploit. And for us, just given
right, I just want to say, I want to say something real. I want to say something real quick. In those places where you have people saying there's no such thing as climate change, when it comes to putting your money down, they're very clear.
Oh, they're very
climate change.
Yeah,
that's a contradiction, but it's something that we need to note. Follow the money, as they like to say. Yeah. Well, if there's no climate change, then you should be willing to finance this project. And all of a sudden, they're like very clear. Now we're not putting $1 million into this.
And the last one I would say is about these data centers, right? And the more they go into suburban and rural areas, which are part of Trump's base, right? And they raise the all the prices, right? The property values go up. Cost of electricity is going up, right? Cost of water is going up, right? And then all the different things, this is a new form of generating toxins and spreading cancer. So you're already seeing a bunch of, particularly his farmer base, saying, hey, we don't want this in our backyard, right? And they are beginning in certain, rural counties in Tennessee, Kentucky, parts of Alabama and Georgia, I'm hearing, even parts of Mississippi, where there's some genuine resistance, from tried and true MAGA voters who say, hey, we don't want this in our backyard, and y'all can't be putting this here. That's another contradiction that we're gonna have to learn how to exploit in real time. And make some new tactical, friends at best to figure out where and how we can move in common alignment to create more distance between them that fragments and fractures their powers and give us more democratic operating space to maneuver within.
That's the voice of Kalyan Kuno. We appreciate you coming on, sharing with us these insights and giving us some sobering thoughts to reflect on. Golly, how can we follow you? Anything coming down the pipe we should be aware of?
You can follow me on, for some of the old heads now, as I've been told, you can follow me on Facebook, Golly Kuno. You can follow me on X, I'm there, Golly _Kuno. You can follow content on three platforms now. Jackson Rising, we encourage everybody to like and subscribe to that. You can follow me on Tonda Seasway's Root Work show on Black Liberation Media for regular sessions that we're doing there. And then in the summer, I will be doing a show, the Build and Fight show, a continuation of what we did, but a particular show that'll run monthly. That's going to be a Democracy at Work, which is a Rick Wolf show. So trying to expand and get the more of the word out, do this education. And folks can also just, you know, email me, kaliakuno@gmail.com, and follow the other, you know, work that I'm deeply involved in with my organization, Cooperation Jackson. Look us up on Facebook. We're adjusting our website at the moment, but the website is cooperationjackson.org. We're also on X and Instagram at CooperationJXN on those two platforms. Yeah, and just be on the lookout, you know, for us on these different meetings. Also, I forgot, that would be derelict. Look for us on for the People's Network for Land and Liberation, and the broader kind of piece that we're trying to put with some allies in practice in real time, the elements of the Build and Fight formula to demonstrate its efficacy. You can check that out on Instagram at PNLL Media and also on Facebook, where you can find us there as well. So, you know, be on the lookout for that.
Kali Akuna, we're going to take a break on Hard Knock Radio. We'll be right back.
Hard Knock, turn the speakers in your car up. Quality program, turn in for the real talk. Don't stop. EMN, at it again. Sandman, Daddy Man, Chris Juwan, Cam. Yeah. Innovation, stimulating ill conversation. Anything else, just imitation. Simulation, step into the zone. The Bay Area zone. Hard Knock Radio, let's go. Big shout out to Need and Davey D. Yeah. Feel me? Yeah. Honing down at Hard Knock Radio.
Hard Knock Radio.
Kind of crazy though. Oakland, stand up.
Yeah. Stand up.
Ensemble Big Night Wolves.
Yeah. Kansas City.
Yeah.
Help you. Come on. Check out.
Why every knob just think they hard knock when they ain't going all in and ain't paid the cost of the fee? Hating that they made they beats trying to eat till it ain't from the steel gray beats. Say please. Maybe they'll save you a seat at the table with Red making his peace, says his peace to their lovers, unable to please. Hey, there's some shade on your name in the street. Go, hey, it ain't David G.
Real Talk Radio.
You and I rocking with the best in the West.
Yes, Coast. Monday through Friday.
Sing it, Chris.
East Coast.
Due to unprecedented civil unrest, all forms of protest are now classified as acts of terrorism. This is not a test. This is not a test.
Coward, traitor, liar, foe, grab a tyrant by the toe. Fascist puppet show, line them up like dominoes. I'll never bow to a in a toupee, yelling free speech, but controlling what the news say. The Lorax called, it's time to find a new shade. RuPaul's never seen a beat that bad on Drag Race. Ain't it obvious the person in the office is a racist? Brad came in the mail, but he opposes immigration. And someone's apple leader, not a foreign armed invasion. That would be the masked man reading graduation ceremonies. Unmarked van snatching people off the street. Broke amendments 5, 10, and 14 at least. But please tell me again how this is still democracy.
Repeat, this is not a test.
Coward, traitor, liar, foe. Grab a tyrant by the toe. Fascist puppet show. Line them up like dominoes. Coward, traitor, liar, foe. Grab a tyrant by the toe. Puppet show, line them up like dominoes. Please explain it to me. The man in charge of the economy's got 6 bankruptcies. Huh? Asking ChatGPT to define GDP, defund an education when half the country can't read. Well, now it's clicking for me. You need the people asleep, and knowledge is the greatest threat to propaganda machines. Remember, books don't burn, they just quietly vanish. So don't wait till it's too late to panic. Iceberg, Titanic, threat level orange. Don't you see that they're ignoring our rights? It's fascism wrapped in red, blue, and white. Coward, traitor, liar, foe. Grab a tyrant by the toe. Fascist puppet show. Line them up like dominoes. Coward, traitor, liar, foe. Grab a tyrant by the toe. Fascist puppet show. Line them up like
dominoes.
It's a threat level orange.
Warning.
It's a threat level orange.
Warning.
It's a threat level orange.
yours. The American dream's like any other. Open your eyes and it's gone.
Colors that you fly, love just one nation, and the whole world we divide. You say you're sorry, there is no other choice. God bless the people now. Cannot raise their voice. We can chase down all our enemies, bring them to their knees. We can bomb the world to pieces, but we can't bomb it into peace. Whoa, we may even find a solution. Violence brings one thing, more and more of the same. Military madness, smell of flesh and burning pain. So I sing out to the masses, stand up if you're still sane. All of us gone crazy, I sing this one refrain. We can chase down all our enemies, bring them to their knees. We can bomb the world to pieces, but we can't bomb it into peace. Whoa.
Radio, East, West, North, radio, South, man. Conectados. Every set, every hood, barrio to barrio. Y'all stand up, stay righteous. Speaking to the thugs, one love. We know where y'all at. Ha. top, Brown Buffalo. It's a hard knock life, gotta pay your bills. They want a song about bling, but it ain't real. We speak to the kids and the OGs. Organize, mobilize, be the change you wanna see. 415's bumping Hard Knock Radio, Brown Buffalo, all up in your stereo. And to the youth, live life like it's golden. Go dumb, go hard, but don't forget where you're going. We from the hood, so it's all to the good. Let us know this, what you're feeling is right. Let's get this understood. It's only one reason why we here today. We trying to make real music so the people can relate.
Learning from these hard knocks, slipping in these hard knocks, listening to hard knocks, questioning the hard knocks, learning through these hard knocks, living for this hip hop, listening to hard knocks, ripping to the hard stop, learning from the hard knocks, living in these hard knocks, listening to hard knocks, questioning the hard knocks, learning through these hard knocks, living for this hip hop, listening to hard knocks, ripping to the hard stop.
Thank you. You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Here goes nothing.
Tune in to KBOO for Drinking from Puddles.